running home. I'm running home out of the dark and into his arms. No more running away, I'm running home.
Amen, amen, amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Well, amen, I'm on. Hallelujah. It's going to be handheld. We had the state convention in here on Thursday, and we had some folks that were very loud and some folks that were very quiet, so that's that should be the only thing, though, that we touched on the soundboard back there, Brother Greg. And by the way, welcome home, Greg and Christy and their family. They've been on vacation, praise God. And I don't know if y'all were playing I'm Running Home for Me since I've been out of the country or not, but I'm thankful to go and I'm thankful to return. And in case you do not know this, there is no place on the United States on the earth like the United States of America. We are blessed beyond measure here, and thank God. And everybody can talk about all these different things. It's our form of government. It's this. It's that. It's because this country honors God.
Yes, it is.
Amen. And the day we stop honoring God, this nation will be in trouble. Amen. And I know we see a lot on the news, but the salt of the earth. There's so many people in this country who love God and serve God and pray and stand and thank God for you. Amen? All right. Well, we're going to worship the Lord, and we're going to talk some about what we experienced in Kenya. Going to play some clips from some sermons for you there, and we're going to have communion together, so it's going to be a great Sunday. And I'm glad you're here to experience and enjoy it. Amen. Welcome, everyone online. That's another thing I just became more and more aware of is how many folks around the world, and especially in Kenya, that tune into our services every week, Sunday morning, Wednesday, discipleship class. And so we welcome all those folks as well. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for home. And Father, home is more than just a geographical location. Father, we are home in your kingdom. We are home in your arms. We are home in Father's house. And Father, I thank you that because we've been born again and you've made us your children, Father, that we dwell in your house forever. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for revealing your truth and your wisdom to us, Father. Thank you this morning for the hearts that you have put within us, Lord, hearts that are not just for us and ours, Lord, but for yours and for your people, both here and around the world. Thank you for your love. Thank you for loving through us. Thank you for revealing yourself to us and revealing yourself through us in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen,
amen, amen, amen. Turn and tell somebody around you good things coming. Sister Christy, we did not get these lights turned on this morning, the pulpit lights, so thank you.
Father, we love you this morning. Glorify your name. You're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy. Father, we love you. So thankful for you. You're with us. You're for
worth looking our way. We are free in ways that we never should be. Sweet release from the grip of these chains. Like hinges straining from the wind, my heart no longer can keep on singing.
All that is within me cries for you alone. Song. The debt is paid, these chains are gone. Emmanuel, God with us.
Lord, you know our hearts don't deserve your glory. Still you show a love we cannot afford. Like hinges straining from the
worship you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for being with us, in us, all around us. We welcome you. We welcome you.
From heaven,
To redeem fallen men. Though you were rejected, they spit on you. Your love was more than tested. You thought of me and carried on. Who's thankful this morning for what Jesus has done for us? Yeah, sing about it, come on.
And Lord, you left your father. You came to set men free. To give me life, you laid yours down as a ransom just for me. Jesus, I'm so grateful that your love's been more than faithful.
Lord, your grace is still amazing.
Come on, tell me this morning. Tell Jesus.
Lord, your grace is still amazing.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Lord, your grace is still amazing.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amazing to me.
Amazing to me. Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, sing it.
Lord, your grace is still amazing. Lord, your grace is still amazing.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, your grace is still amazing. Amazing to me. Your grace is still amazing.
Come on.
Lord, your grace is still amazing. Lord, your grace is still amazing. Amazing to me.
Jesus. Thank you, sir. Thank you for being so real to us, for being so comforting, for just being so whatever you need, ever what you need. I don't know how else to say it. It's like whatever you need. He was tempted in all ways. So he's already been through anything and everything you could have already been through. He knows.
Yes.
Even the gross stuff you don't want to talk about, he's been through it, and he loves you. And he wants to take it all away. We got a new song. We got the words. I don't know y'all been out. We got the words, okay. Need to breathe. Follow me. Yeah, so I can stand. This song is one of them songs, if I'm by myself and I hear it, I cry. And Lord said, hello. I'm tapping you on the shoulder, boy. I know. So this song right here touches me. We had to desensitize ourselves to the lyrics. How many times? We'd do a few words, we'd all cry, and we'd do it again. And finally, we got where we'd get through it. So, hope it blesses you.
You will always be. the safest place to fall for me,
so I can stand, so I can stand. You always find the best in me, the diamonds hiding underneath every insecurity that I can't cover. I can leave them at the door. You never need me to be more than who I am if I am yours. And I am yours now. And I am yours now.
You will always be. You will always be. Safest place to fall for me,
so I can stand.
If you feel a little lost now and don't remember who you are now, you can run into my arms.
You can fall on me.
I ain't ever gonna leave you, so don't keep another secret. Oh, your tears are not.
You can fall on me. If you feel a little lost now and don't remember who you are now, you can run into my arms. You can fall on me. I ain't never gonna leave you, so don't keep another secret. Oh, your tears are not a weakness. You can fall place to fall for me. You will always be. You will always be the one that I can call. The safest place to fall for me.
Do it again, baby. So I can stand.
If you feel a little lost now,
he's calling you.
Don't remember who you are now.
He's calling your name today.
You can run into my arms. You can fall on me.
He's reaching out.
I ain't ever gonna leave
you. Reaching out to you.
So don't keep another secret.
Yeah.
Oh, your tears are not a weakness.
You can fall on me. If you feel a little lost now and don't remember who you are now, you can run into my arms. You can fall on me. I ain't never gonna leave you, so don't keep another secret. Oh, your tears are not a weakness. You can fall, you will always be. Place to fall for me. You will always be. You will always be the one that I can call. The safest place to fall for me.
I can stand. So I can stand.
That's him. That's who saved us right there. You always talk to him. Come on, brother. Wow. Who loves the Lord this morning? Who loves Jesus this morning? Ah, he's so real in this place right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you.
Our children are going to stay in this morning. We're going to be showing some videos and things from Kenya. And praise God, good things coming on that here in just a moment. So praise God. Praise God. But we can stand. Amen. 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 Let me tell you what else we can do. We can do hard things. This idea that, you know, something's hard, well, it's too hard. No, we can do hard things. We can overcome. You know, there's things that Father is forming in us through life experience. Things that are being developed in us through life experience that can't be developed any other way. We are the bride of Christ, and we are the body of Christ. And he is preparing his bride, and he is preparing his body, a bride fit for the groom of all grooms, and a body fit for the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus himself, none other. And we see this in Jesus. We see that he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. Now you think, oh, wait a second, he's the Son of God. He never committed a sin, so what does it mean he learned? Well, that word learned has to do with experiencing things, not just hearing things, but as we hear so often mentioned in our world, walking a mile in our shoes. He walked 33 years in our shoes. He was tempted in all points like as we are. And even as the eternal Son of God, the uncreated Son of God, all-powerful, all-knowing Son of God, he had to become a man to understand and experience what it is to be a man. And because of that, he's able to help us and to woo us and to draw us. And when we talk about this life, our life on this planet is the briefest part of our existence. But in so many ways, it is perhaps the most important, because we see clearly from Jesus that the things that we learned, the things that we pushed through, the character that we developed, the faith that we built, the understanding that we allowed the Holy Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God to develop within us, and then the outward expression of that in our life realities. All of these things are things that not only are preparing us for eternity, but are going to determine the position we start in when we cross over. Amen. He didn't say to all of the servants, now here are 10 cities to rule over, or here. It's because what they did with what they were given and the assignment that they were given and how faithful they were in that assignment is what prepared them and positioned them for what is to come next. Amen. So even character, you know, I can't lay hands on you and put character in you. Character is developed through life experience. Faithfulness is developed through life experience. Endurance is developed through life experience. Loyalty is developed through life experience. Integrity is developed through life experience. And it's developed in the tension of the moment. In other words, when everything in you wants to quit and you keep pushing and keep pressing and keep standing, having done all therefore that you know to do to stand, keep standing, it's in that tension of that moment when you want to quit and don't, that's where your endurance is increased. That's where the character that is so precious to our Heavenly Father in our hearts and lives is developed. And so we can stand. Amen. Because greater is he who's in us than he who's in the world. Praise God. All right, let's pray over the morning tithes and offerings. Father, we've come now to this time of giving, and we give as unto you. We thank you for cheerful givers, Father, for men and women who understand the wisdom of taking seed and planting it and not eating all of our seed and not seeing everything that you give to us as bread only, Father. But Lord, you give seed to sow and you give bread to eat, and we sow our seed now. We do so in faith. We do so in expectation, Father, for a harvest and for increase. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You give as unto the Lord. A few announcements. We'll be enjoying communion together this morning. No young adults tomorrow night. No young adults tomorrow night, so make a note of that. Discipleship class begins Wednesday. And I hope you've been praying and asking the Lord what he might have you do about discipleship class. And one opportunity you have is immediately following the service, we need to move some tables. Praise God. Thanks, Brother Pops. He's already came in on Friday and moved all the chairs, but we do need some help moving some tables. If you could help us with that after the service, we greatly appreciate that. Amen. Voter registration. We've got a very important election in our country coming up, and we want every one of you to vote, and not just vote, but go before the Lord and ask him how he would have you cast your ballot. If you have not registered to vote, Sister Cherie has volunteered to help you. Amen. She can possibly even do that from her tablet without even having to go somewhere with you. You can do it online now. And so please don't put this off. Don't wait to the last minute. If you're not registered to vote, you need to do so first and foremost as unto the Lord. Amen. But then also as a citizen of this nation who has been given a voice in the government of this nation, it's very, very, very important. So we want you to participate in that. Praise God. Well, I think most of you know by now that I was in Kenya last week, and special thanks to Brother Donald and Brother Matthew for bringing the word in my absence. I have listened to both of those messages, and if you have not, if you were not here for those messages, you need to go online and listen to them. I know the Lord will speak to your heart, and I appreciate these men and their faithfulness, not just to attend church and participate, but to hear from God and then deliver God's words to you. Amen. And it is a very important thing. And when God speaks to his people, it's very important that we hear it. Satan's trying to steal the word from you, and he steals 100% of the word from you that you never hear. So if you weren't here for those messages, and even if you were, it probably wouldn't hurt you to go back. As a matter of fact, it would help you to go back and listen to them again. Mom and Dad recently shared with me they had listened to. We were having some live stream issues, and so they, at home on Wednesday night, they just went back and listened to, I think, the Sunday before, and they were just amazed at how many, they were here for that sermon. This is the second time they heard it, and they were amazed at how many things they heard the second time that they didn't hear the first time. And I have that same experience myself, even with messages that I preach. So take advantage of the technology. And I encourage you to either through podcasts or live streaming, hccnow.org. They're also archived on Facebook as well. Amen. All right, so we're going to do a few things this morning as it relates to Kenya. I have a brief video with music background just showing some different images and slides. And I want to share that with you here in just a moment. The song is one that Hannah Myrick sent me, and I received it before I left, but I didn't download it and listen to it until I arrived in Amsterdam. And when I arrived in Amsterdam, I had a 6.5-hour layover. I got to the airport very, very early in the morning there. And so I went and kind of found me a place to try to get comfortable, and I logged onto the airport internet, and I saw that song, and I downloaded that song. And I don't know, I don't want to exaggerate how many times I listened to it over and over and over again. And there were only two other people at my gate. One man was asleep across some chairs, and another family was on about six rows over. And I had my headphones on. And you know how that goes, right? When you have headphones on, you don't realize how loud you're being. And I don't know if they thought I was missing my wife or what I was doing, because I was extremely emotional with that song and just out crying out loud, weeping out loud before the Lord. And I think you'll, when you hear the song, you'll you'll understand the message and its appropriateness for the trip. Let me, I want to give just a few details of what we did while we were there. And I'm saying we, what we did. That's very, very important, what we did. The Bible is clear about it, that how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they're sent? And how can they be sent unless somebody sends them? And we see throughout both the Old Testament and the New Testament that Father God confirms the one who sins receives the same reward as the one who is sent, the same one who goes. And so I could not have done any of this without you. And I'm not just talking about your financial giving that enables us to support God's work in Kenya, but I want to begin even with your prayers. Brother Cecil, he watches a lot of international news because he's been involved in different things with his position in the military. And he came up to me the Sunday before I left, and he was like, I guess you know there's a lot going on in Kenya right now. And I said, well, yeah. I said, I didn't want to kind of speak all that negativity, but there have been a lot of protests in Kenya. There's a president that is not very popular. He has stopped all infrastructure work. There are unfinished projects everywhere, still even blocking the roadways. He has double taxes. That's not an exaggeration. He has double taxes. The government had two private jets. He has purchased five more, so he now has seven private jets. He's purchased vacation homes. And so the young people in Kenya, there are, I'm going to give you two numbers because I should have confirmed this with Cornelius, but right now in Nairobi, it's either 100, let's go with the less number, I think it's more than this, 125,000 young people who have four-year college degrees that cannot find a job even sweeping streets. And now the government is coming in and they're increasing all these taxes. And so there have been massive, massive protests and unrest in Kenya, specifically in Nairobi. And that's, of course, where I was on my way to, 12 days ago, 14 days ago. And one of the ways that they protest is, if you could imagine, for those of you around here, we call it Malfunction Junction, where I-5920 comes together and intersects with I-65, and obviously they do not have this type of interstate system in Kenya, but we're talking about the main road that runs through in both directions. And one of the key things the protesters were doing, thousands and thousands of them were going into those roadways and just sitting down. And so peaceful protest, but obviously locked the whole city down, because it's not like they have alternate, there's no 459 to navigate around. And so when the Bible says, and we spoke and confessed that the Lord was going before us, the protesters published in the newspaper that they were going to take a week off and would resume their protests once I left the country. They didn't say once I left the country, but and how that would have affected us, and Cornelius, we drove through that section many times. He said, I want you to imagine, you know, literally people almost as far as you can see sitting down in these roadways. He said, people would not have been able to get to our meetings. We would have not been able to move at all around the city. And so, again, just the goodness of God. The other thing was, in your prayers on coming home, I used to say quite often that it's a small world. Man, it's a small world. Anyone who says it's a small world has never gotten on an airplane and flown 600 miles an hour for 19 hours. Okay, it is not a small world. It is a very, very big world, and it takes a long time, even by jet airplane, to get to some of these places. And so, obviously, once you've done what you're supposed to do and you go through the emotions of telling everybody bye and you finally get on an airplane, you're ready to get home. And everything went extremely smooth until I arrived in Atlanta. Once you get back to Atlanta, you have to go through customs. Then you have to retrieve your luggage and you have to go back through security just like somebody dropped you off at the airport. And Atlanta, Hartsfield, if you know, is the busiest airport in the world. And for some reason, on this particular day, they had one line of people checking passports, ID, boarding passes, and for your carry-ons and all that to go through the x-ray machine. Well, I had an hour and a half to connect with my final leg of the flight. But you know how you just feel everything just, because it's obvious, and I'm not wanting to say anything. People are starting to gripe and complain, and I'm like, Lord, I'm not going to let that strife come out of my mouth. I started praying the Holy Ghost. I texted Pam, prayed in the Holy Ghost. I said, baby, we need a miracle here, or I'm not going to make my connecting flight, to get to my gate. I still had to get to my gate, which is, if you've ever been to Atlanta Airport, that means getting on a train, okay, to get to your gate. And so, how the queue goes, the line goes this way, and then this way, and then this way. Well, as I was coming down this way, a man walks up and he says, anyone with a U.S. passport, come with me. Well, the man I was standing by, I could tell he flies all the time. He said, I'm not getting out of line. And in my heart, I was like, you need to go with that man. And somebody said, where are we going? He didn't answer. He said, if you have a U.S. passport, come with me. And of course, the Holy Spirit inside, he says, you need to go with that man. So I climbed under the queue. I'm talking about those little things that they go from the stanchion back and forth. I climbed under, somebody else climbed under, and we took off after that guy. What none of them folks in line knew is that man was fixing to walk us through security and send us on our way. And so I literally made my flight with just a few minutes to board. Praise God. Yeah, glory to God. That's, that's just the goodness of God and his protection over us. So I want to tell you a little bit about Cornelius' story. I've known parts of his story, but obviously spending this much time with him, I have more to share with you that I think is going to be a blessing to you. For those of you who do not know, Heritage Christian Center, we have seven sister churches in Kenya and one in Uganda. And part of the plan for this trip was to bring the leadership in from those churches into Nairobi, have what they call a convention, which is basically 3 2-hour services a day during the day, and then go to do open-air crusade evangelism at night, in the evening hours. So it's a long day, a lot of ministry opportunity for me. And we had a glorious time, praise God. In the open-air crusade, we had 43 first-time commitments to Jesus, salvations. Yes, give the Lord a hand clap of praise on that. And, sometimes we, like when we went before, I forget how many thousands it was. This was a different setting, a different meeting, but if just one person got born again, that would be enough, praise God. A lot of people healed. One of the things that really touched me were people who would get saved in the evening services and then be in church for the convention for 6 hours, 8 hours the following day. To see them immediately getting plugged in to Heritage Christian Center there in Nairobi, I thought was extremely important. This might be the most amazing thing, and this was one of the things that we confessed before we left. We confessed while we were there. We confessed on our way home, and we're continuing to confess, is that what we invested during this trip will continue to produce fruit until Jesus returns. And so here is an amazing evidence of that. The days kind of run together because there's an 8-hour time change, and I apologize for not knowing exactly. I could go back and look at the videos and get you an exact day, but it was either on Friday or Saturday. I was praying for the sick, and when I prayed for the sick, there's no translator because to be able just to flow in the Holy Spirit and if I felt like I needed to speak a word to somebody, then I would get Cornelius or someone to translate that. But basically, it's just laying hands on people, anointing them with oil, and me praying in English or unknown tongues as the Lord led me to do so. And one of the things that I learned from Brother Keith Moore many years ago, he was about to approach a prayer line, and he took off his coat, and he was rolling up his sleeves, and and kind of making a big show of it. The Lord asked me, what are you doing? And he said, well, I'm getting ready to pray for these people. He said, you don't have to do all that. He said, you lay hands on them and you speak to them and you say over them what I tell you to say over them. And because see, we think we got, you know, all this other stuff. And that you don't have to do that. Now, if the Lord leads you to do that, do that. But you don't have to do all that. And so I think they were, the people kind of expecting that. And it gave me an opportunity to teach on faith and doing God's thing God's way and expecting God's result. But as I went through the line, there was a lady that I prayed for, and she's actually a Muslim, but she, like we see in Scripture, she was not there for herself. She was there for her son. Her son is 13 years old, and he started when he was 2 years old with epileptic seizures and has had at least 2 seizures a day, every day, for 11 years. And she was there for help. And God helped her. Amen. Amen. God healed her son. As of yesterday, he is not. So it's over a week now. He has not had a seizure. Amen. Amen. So much so that this family traveled to the church to meet with Cornelius. And Cornelius was not there, but they talked with someone at the church. Cornelius got their address, traveled to their home, led the whole family to the Lord. They all got born again. And because they live, yes, praise God, man, this is how it works. This is how it works. Praise God. And so now the family, I'm sure they are, I haven't talked to Cornelius, but they said, we will be in church on Sunday, and we are going to move there in an area that is a completely Muslim community. And they say, we want to move out of this community. We want to move into a community that's both Christian and very close to the church, because we're going to be a part of Heritage Christian Center there. So I just thought, amen, that was glorious. And I just think about the things that we all prayed, things that Brother Donald was led to pray over me Sunday 2 weeks ago. And then if you remember our Brother Buell, from Knoxville, the Lord gave him that word about no delay coming to pass immediately. And so we are so grateful for that. Praise God. You'll see a couple of pictures in the slide presentation also of ordinations. And that was one of the things that the Lord had laid on my heart to do, was to have an ordination service for our pastors there. That is very important. First of all, God ordains a man or a woman. What he instructs us to do is to recognize that he's ordained them. So I can't lay my hands on somebody and make them something that God's already made them. Amen. But also we see for governments. And in Kenya, they call them briefcase or suitcase preachers. So many people claim to be a preacher that are not really. And unless you are ordained in Kenya, you cannot perform a wedding and you cannot perform a funeral. So what's been happening is Cornelius has been having to travel to all these different Heritage Christian Center campuses to do these weddings and funerals because of his ordination. And so to be able to do that, but also you have to show them a certificate of ordination, and you also have to show them photographs from your ordination ceremony. And so we did that last Sunday. Now, I don't want anybody to get nervous, all right? But last Sunday service in Kenya, a little shy of 6 hours. It was a long service, amen. And I could still be there, I think. Praise God. That's just the goodness of God, the richness of God. So another thing that you're going to see in the video presentation is me handing some men a white envelope. The Lord instructed me while I was there to teach from his word on kingdom finances and to plant seeds of finances into our pastor's hands that they could then use to plant and break the curse of poverty off of their family, off of their family of faith, and ultimately off of the community that they pastor in. Praise God. And so we, and I'm saying we were able to give each one of those pastors $100. Now, you know, that's, if somebody gave me $100 today, I would certainly be thank you. That to me is a significant gift. But because the economy is so different there, and I'll give you an example, and I won't use names because obviously may be watching, and I certainly wouldn't want to embarrass anyone, but there was one pastor in particular who was weeping. That would be the equivalent of, like, I think it was like 10,000 shillings. Shillings is the financial denomination there. And so after I spent, I don't know, 45 minutes to an hour teaching on seed and harvest and don't eat your seed, and how Jesus became a sin for us so that we could be blessed. He became sin for us so we could become righteousness. He became cursed for us so we could become blessed. He became poor for us. Man, you should have heard them people cheer when I explained to them that Jesus was not poor. I mean, you teach that in the United States and people go, yes, he was. Man, they were like, are you kidding me? Jesus wasn't poor. Wow, nobody ever told us that, right? But he became poor so that we might become rich. And so I taught all of those things. When I presented them, I told them before I presented them the money, I said, I'm going to present this money, and it's a gift. I said, you do with it as you will, but what I'm asking you to do is take this money before the Lord and ask him to show you where to plant and where to consume, where to make bread. And so this one pastor, he was weeping, and he explained to Cornelius later that, and he's probably in his 60s, he said for the first time in his life, he held 10,000 shillings in his hand all at once. There was this man had lived into his 60s and had never had the equivalency of $100 to his name at one time. And so I just want you to continue to agree with me and believe with me. Let's just say this. not counting what Pam and I put in the offering from our finances on last Sunday morning at Heritage, it not counting our gift, but which we gave in U.S. dollars, but just counting the shillings, it was many, many, many times over the largest offering that had ever been given in the history of Heritage Christian Center. So we are believing that these brothers and sisters are catching on to God's desire to prosper them and promote them financially. Praise God. Now, one last thing, and it's towards the end of this video. One of the things that you see people wearing modern clothes and living in a modern society, but tribal culture is still very, very prominent in the way things are done in Kenya. And a group of the elders took it upon themselves and got together and decided to designate me as an elder in their community, which may not be that big of a deal to you, but you'd again have to understand their culture, what an honor this was. And so you're going to kind of see towards the end part of that or I guess the ending of that ceremony. And they were all like dancing and shouting and rejoicing and exuberance. And they're all wanting to take pictures of me. And I'm just ugly crying. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to get myself together and smile. Again, and I think it was the culmination of just the entire week. This was one of the final things that we did on Sunday before we went to the Crusade Grounds for service that evening. So, amen. I hope I'm not boring you. There were a few things that I was wanting to include in all of this that, for whatever reasons, I had issues with. And my darling wife, as she does so many times, she looked at me and she said, "This is not the only Sunday you can show us something from Kenya." So, and she's right. So, if we don't get to some of these other things, then we'll get to them at another time. Now, those of you who are watching online, we're trying to make it so you can hear. So I'm going to leave my microphone on for the audio, and then they can swap over to the video. I see a thumbs up back there from the live stream nerve center. So anyway, Pops is going to let me get down here, Pops, and I'm going to Amen. I'm going to play this one. Before we do this, I also have a few sermon clips. And when I played the sermon clip on Kenya Day, when Cornelius and I preached together in 2014, I had so many people comment on that. And then I've had several of you have asked me, please play some of those excerpts from this trip. And so I have a few of those as well that I'll play. So I'm going to have a seat down here with my microphone by my wife, and we'll enjoy some of this together. Praise God. All right, the music should be playing, so let's stop that for a minute. Amen. Are we connected? Thank you, Jesus. All right, we're gonna get it, because we there, did it clear? Okay. All right, we may have lost sound connection to the board. Greg, go beside the Bluetooth and push edit. Are we connected, Bluetooth?
This is the sound. Yeah, it's too loud.
Okay. Well, let's go back here. Thank you, Jesus. Just try to click on it, Christy, and see if it'll play for you. Okay. Just hit here and clear it. Okay. I wonder if the volume's... No. Let's go, man, y'all heard all this playing. Let's go here, click here and see if it'll do it. You can see we've got sound, but it's not coming through, so amen. Everybody patient? Everybody good? Everybody blessed? All right, appreciate you being patient with us. Amen. I got here around 7 this morning, and we tested all of this, but... Go to Bluetooth. Let me get right here between you. Amen. So evidently we've lost our Bluetooth connection. System settings. Let's disconnect. Forget this device. All right. And we're going to forget devices. Okay. Hold it till it flashes. Connect. Now we should be good to go.
It's okay to talk to me.
That last photo was in Cornelius' home with his family and three children.
And one of the many things the Holy Spirit is doing through my connection with God the Father, He is pouring out the love of God in my heart. When Jesus told us the two great commandments, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Those were not new commandments. Those were commands from the Old Testament. But then in John 13:34, he says, I give you a new commandment. A commandment that's never been given. And it has never been given because it can never be fulfilled until now. The commandment that Jesus gave in John chapter 13 was to love others as He loves us. This is a whole other level of love that can only be carried out if the love of God is being poured out in our hearts. Because I'm born again and my Holy Spirit lives in me, I can now love you as Jesus loves you, because He's loving me. He's loving you, and He's loving you through me. Do you see this? Practical example. So when I put on the new man and I love others like Jesus loves me, anybody around me is going to know, because they can see that I am a disciple. By this, all men will know.
What word would they do?
By what? By the love. By the love. Not our judgment. Not our condemnation. Not our condescension. Not the way we dress. Not how big of a Bible we carry. Not how many people are in our church. But by one thing. The hallmark. It's love. Why? Because God is love. God is love. There's nothing we can do greater than love, higher than love, that will reflect the image of our Father. He is love. He is extravagantly generous. And He is calling you and me to extravagant generosity.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And draw your attention between the way God saw Gideon and the way Gideon saw himself. God says to Gideon through the angel,
Mungu anamwambia Gideon kupitia malaika,
you mighty man of valor,
ya kwamba ewe shujaa,
go in this might of yours.
Enenda katika nguvu hizi.
Because this is who God knows Gideon is.
Maana hii ndio Mungu anamfahamu Gideon kuwa.
But notice Gideon's understanding.
Tazama ufahamu wa Gideon naye.
I am the least.
Mimi ni mdogo.
I'm a nobody.
Mimi sio mtu.
I come from a family of nobody.
Natoka familia isiyojulikana.
And I'm the biggest nobody.
Na mimi ndio yule mkubwa wasiokuwa chochote.
I can't do anything.
Siwezi tenda chochote.
How can I help?
Nitawezaje kusaidia?
What do I have to offer?
Nitapeana nini?
Poor, pitiful me.
Mimi maskini.
I'm such a loser.
Mimi ni mtu ambaye nashindwa.
I'm such a nobody.
Mimi sio mtu yeyote.
I can't do anything.
Siwezi tenda chochote.
To even help myself.
Hata kujisaidia mwenyewe.
So how can I help a nation?
Nitasaidiaje taifa?
Do you see yourself in it?
Je, unajiona katika taswira unajiona?
He did not agree with God.
Hakuwa amekubaliana na Mungu.
And did not agree with Him quickly.
Na hakujikubaliana naye haraka haraka.
Gideon had a self-image.
Gideoni alikuwa na hali ya kujiona.
Based upon what had been done to him.
Kulingana na yale ambayo alikuwa ametendewa.
He had the mindset of a victim.
Alikuwa na ile mawazo ya yule anayedhihakiwa.
And he saw himself as a victim.
Na akajiona kama mhasiriwa.
So he understood like a victim.
Kwa hivyo akajielewa kama mhasiriwa.
And because he understood like a victim.
Na vile alivyojielewa kama mhasiriwa.
He lived like a victim.
Aliishi kama mhasiriwa.
But he was not a victim.
Lakini hakuwa mhasiriwa.
Did God say he was a victim?
Je, Mungu alisema yeye ni mhasiriwa?
Did God say you pitiful man of victim?
Je, Mungu alimwambia wewe mhasiriwa?
Or did he say you mighty man of valor?
Mungu alimwambia ewe shujaa.
He said you mighty man of valor.
Alimwambia ewe shujaa.
You will deliver.
Utawakomboa.
From the Midianites.
Kutoka kwa Midiani.
And defeat the Midianites.
Washinda wa Midiani.
As a single man.
Kama mtu mmoja.
God says,
Mungu anasema,
there is ability in you.
Kuna uwezo ndani yako.
To defeat.
Kushinda.
The army of a mighty nation.
Ya jeshi la taifa kuu.
One man.
Mtu mmoja.
You can't fit that in a body.
Uwezi kaa, ujaza hiyo katika mwili.
But you can fit that in a spirit.
Lakini unaweza jaza hiyo katika roho.
Kwa utofauti. Between the way God saw Gideon.
God.
But in order for what's in that spirit.
Ili kile kilicho ndani ya roho.
To come out of that body.
Kiweze kuondoka katika mwili.
We gotta have a different self-image.
Lazima tuwe na taswira tofauti yetu.
If we understand ourselves as victims.
Tukijielewa kama wahasiriwa.
Then we're gonna live like a victim.
Tutaishi kama wahasiriwa.
And I pray to God.
Na naomba Mungu.
That you do not wait.
Ya kwamba usisubiri.
Until you get to heaven one day.
Hadi ufike mbinguni siku moja.
How you could have lived.
Na kupata jinsi umeishi.
Every day on planet.
Kila mara katika ulimwengu huu.
I pray to God.
Naomba Mungu.
You don't wait till you step across to the other side.
Usisubiri ufike upande ule mwingine.
Find out.
Yogundua.
You are a mighty man of all the
time. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Kwa sababu ulijiona umeshindwa.
You saw yourself as a nobody.
Ulijiona kana kwamba sio mtu.
From a family of nobody.
Kutoka familia isiyojulikana.
From nowhere.
Kutoka pasipo popote.
And so what can we do?
Tunaweza fanya nini?
My brothers and my sisters.
Ndugu zangu, dada zangu.
The world needs a church.
Dunia inahitaji kanisa.
It knows who they are.
Ambaye inajifahamu ni nani.
The hope of this earth.
Utumaini dunia hii.
Is the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But in order for what's in that spirit.
Ili kile kilicho ndani ya roho.
To come out of that body.
Kiweze kuondoka.
Amen. 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 So those of you who do not know, that's my son Cornelius. Did you notice the family resemblance there? Praise God. Amen. I had some photos of the Onyango family, but they did not translate over, so I'll maybe show you those later. Carlos Luther is the oldest son. He is a senior in high school, and he's tall, and when he greeted the congregation, you can turn the lights on, Pops, thank you. When he greeted the congregation, I kind of hollered out. I said, he gets his height from his grandfather. And everyone laughed. Man, my heart's so full. I know it's almost 12. We still have communion to go. Let me at least just share this part. There was a picture, and I had that in my file, and I'll try to get that up. I don't know if you saw me standing with a group of children. One, her name's Charlene. Charlene's about this tall, and then there were some smaller children. To give you some idea, okay, in the community, so Nairobi obviously would be like Birmingham. You could say that Heritage Christian Center, this Heritage Christian Center in Birmingham, but technically we're in Hueytown. And there are Kenyan names for all the other little communities, in except for where Heritage Christian Center is, where Cornelius pastors, and it's called Lucky Summer. Lucky Summer. And many, many, many generations ago, a group of people bought that property. And it's been a lot of things over the years. It was actually a penal colony way back in the day. And so it's Heritage Christian Center, Lucky Summer, is actually the home base where Cornelius operates out of. And when I say it's not one world, there is a 13-year-old little boy in our church there who is the head of his household. There's no parents. He's over and responsible for, of course, and when I say we help him, we help him. In Kenya, there's no public education. If children go to school in Kenya, their parents have to pay for it. And there are a lot of families who can't afford it. And so one of the things that we are doing, and I emphasize we, is we now have preschool, kindergarten, first and second grade. The idea is to build that on out where children can come for free. But they call them at-home children, at-home children. What that means is their parents can't afford to send them to school, and so they're at home. And so it may be a child that's, 10, 12, even 13 years old that shouldn't necessarily be in first or second grade, but they haven't been through those grades yet. And so we are helping educate those children. We actually have some pastors, great, powerful men of God, but some of them had never been to school. And so we are helping them learn to read and write. And now every one of those pastors can write their names and sign their names. And this is, again, seems like not that big a deal to us, but it's such a huge deal to them. And this is all, again, a part of the investment that we are making together in the kingdom of God. This little girl here, so precious, and so some of those children, what I was saying, are children that we're helping get an education and grow and develop and the potential that they have to develop. But anybody recognize the hoodie, zip-up hoodie that she's got on? That's actually Ole Miss. Of course, some of you know Pam's sister's husband, my brother-in-law. He played football at Ole Miss, so I asked the little girl if I could take her picture, and I sent it to my brother-in-law. I told him Ole Miss representing in Nairobi. So anyway, praise God. This is a photo when I arrived. That's Cornelius, obviously, on my right. And then that's Pastor Samuel Ocelli. And Pastor Samuel was our first branch after Lucky Summer. He pastors in Kisii. It's about a five-hour drive from where we were. And he is a dear man of God. If you will remember, Pastor Samuel was in a very serious motorcycle accident, and doctors had given up on him, did not believe he would survive, and of course you see him there alive and well and smiling. And we were talking about the book, Imagine Heaven. Somehow heaven came up, and we were talking about heaven, and he got this real serious look on his face, and he said, I was on my way to preach at a convention when I had the accident, and he said, the whole time I was in a coma, I was listening to angels sing. He said, but I didn't know that's what was going on. He said, I kept asking myself, why is there no preaching at this convention? Why is there only singing at this convention? And then, of course, when he regained consciousness, he understood exactly what was happening. I do not have pictures of them here. I can show them to you later if you'd like to see them, but how many of you remember when there was the serious car accident? And listen to me just a second, okay? This is funny, but maybe not, okay? How many of you ever traveled in a roundabout? You know what I'm talking about, like a traffic, like instead of a red light or stop sign, you got a roundabout. There's one at Target, the shopping center over here, okay? I've told folks, we're not ready for those in the South, but they're coming, I mean, they're bringing them on anyway. They'll have 3 and 4 lane roundabouts, and they'll have a roundabout that's within a roundabout. I told him it was a biblical roundabout, like a wheel within a wheel. And traffic over there, so you have a narrow 2-lane road that's just enough for 2 lanes, especially if one of them's a bus or a big truck to fit down. But that two-lane road becomes a three-lane road for cars, thousands of people traveling, walking both directions, and then motorcycles going everywhere. And of course, I'm sitting where I would normally sit and drive, except for there they drive on the opposite side of the road, so the steering wheel is on the opposite side. And I'm not proud of this, but I think I did good with it, Brother Donald. My Apple Watch keeps track of my heart rate. I am not kidding you. I get an alert on my phone that says your resting heart rate has increased over the last five days. And I'm like, I wonder why. So, but if you'll recall that really, really serious car accident where the youth pastor, his name is Kennedy Masando, and his wife Winnie, well, Kennedy was not expected to live. We prayed and interceded for him here. And again, it's another miraculous story. Where the Lord raised him up. And such a precious young man. He has a yellow Bible. Kind of makes me want one. Like the leather on it's yellow. And he had a yellow, like, cloth, you know, to wipe sweat when he preaches. But the cloth was really tattered. And so I had carried with me a yellow microfiber towel to clean my computer screens and my glasses. And I kept it in my backpack. And just to show you the humility of this precious brother, you know, the last night of the crusade when I was going to leave, I said, Kennedy, wasn't that your yellow Bible? And I said, Pastor Kennedy, wasn't that your yellow Bible? He said, yes. I said, I have a gift for you. And I turned around, I got the yellow towel out. Now, this he had on white pants, white shirt with blue trim. He kneeled down in the dirt and did his hands like this to receive that gift from me. And so it's the... They're such a beautiful people, such a humble, humble people. And on Sunday morning as they were worshiping, I was sitting next to Pastor Ocelli and Samuel. This is the one that had the motorcycle accident. And then, of course, his wife is sitting right down there and children. And then Pastor Kennedy's wife is helping lead worship. And he's there translating. And I know it just became very real to me. You know, that this was the goodness of God. David said he wouldn't have survived if he hadn't seen the goodness of God in the land of the living. And so I asked both of them to come. I felt led of the Lord to do this. I asked for Kennedy's wife, Winnie. Her name's Winifred, and they call her Winnie. And Sister Ocelli to come and stand on this side of me. And I said, we need to remember what God has done, and we need to give him thanks. I said, because this could be a very different day. I said, I could be standing between two widows today. And Pastor Kennedy was still in a coma when his first child was born. And but I would like to play. I don't have time to do it. I don't have it with me now. But I would like to play Sister Winnie's testimony for you because there was, she used the English word trend. There was a trend in her family of premature death on both sides of the family. And I think even Pastor Kennedy, his parents were, his dad died while he was, his mother was pregnant with him. And boy, she just rose up. She's talking about what she was confessing, that this devil, you will not do this in my family. This is not, you know, so anyway, it's a tremendous blessing. Praise God. Man, it is 12:03 and we haven't done communion, and I could talk for two more hours, but I'm not going to do that to you. Can we talk some more about Kenya maybe later? I want to tell you some more of Pastor Cornelius's sermon and why he calls me Dad. It's a beautiful story, and my heart's desire is sooner rather than later that he come and tell it to you personally. Stand here and tell you the story, but it's an amazing thing that God has done. There are divine appointments that we have in life, the people that God is trying to connect us with and establish fellowship with so that his purposes can prosper through those connections. And certainly when I look back on my lifetime, there's so many of you in this room that I came out of my mother's womb looking for. And yet it's such a beautiful thing that Father snuck up on me with this fellowship connection all the way halfway across the world. But it's amazing what God is doing through that connection. And it's an honor to be a part of it. Amen. I'm going to ask the men who are serving communion if you would come. Matt, Vanessa, Daniel, if y'all would come. Praise God. Amen. I almost feel a little silly asking you to forgive me with it being 12:04 and we didn't get out of church till after 3 o'clock on last Sunday, but amen. I know that's not what you're accustomed to. And so anyway, praise God. Praise God. Praise the name of the living God. Amen. 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 Yes, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. 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 As you're being served, if you're served first, if you would hold your emblems until everyone is served, and then we'll partake together. Let's remain in an attitude of worship as they lead us while the brethren are serving you. Praise God. making sure everyone's been served. If you have not been served the cup, can we see your hand? Not been served the bread. Amen. Okay, thank you, brothers. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Has he been good to you? I'm not sure how much you understand about how good he's been to you, but I'm going to tell you right now, none of us really and fully understand just how good he has been to us. Amen. He's a good father, and he loves you, and he paid the highest price. He paid the highest price to give you the option to return back to him and be one with him again. Amen. Father, as we take the bread in our hands, we recognize what this little chip, this little wafer of bread with no yeast in it represents. It represents the uncorrupted, spotless, sinless body of Jesus that was the only sacrifice that could ever pay the price and redeem us from our sin. Father, his body was broken. You allowed it to be broken for us. You allowed the weight of all of our rebellion and sinfulness to be placed upon him so that it could be removed, taken away from us once and for all. So, Father, as we hold this bread, we remember, we recall, we think about, we deliberately, intentionally set our minds upon the good things that you've done for us and the salvation that you've provided for us. In Jesus' name, let's partake together. Father, we now take the cup of blessing, the cup of your blessing. Father, representing the blood of Jesus, but also representing what you came to do for us, and that is an inside to the outside work within your people. Jesus, you said this is the cup of the new covenant, and you didn't tell them to follow the example of Moses and splash it on themselves externally, but to drink it, to take it in to themselves. Because Jesus, you came to make us new creations inwardly so that we could live as new creations outwardly. So Father, as we partake this morning together from this cup, we recognize that we are your temple and the Holy Spirit now lives in us, that the power of your Spirit is now forever ours. Father, that what you've made us, behavior could not make us, and behavior cannot unmake us. All that we became the day we became new creations in Christ Jesus through the second birth. So, Father, we say amen and thank you as we partake together. And we believe, Father, that as we do, any need, any physical healing, any area of our lives, Father, that we seem to be lacking or insufficient in, Father, as we are reminded of your all-encompassing sacrifice for our lives, Lord, that like a well springing up from deep within us, Lord, answers, deliverance, healing, provision comes forth. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's partake together. Praise the Lord. The Bible says that after they had partaken, they sang a hymn together before they were dismissed. So let's sing together one more time, and then we'll go our separate ways. If not for you, if not.
to think where I would be if not for you, if not for you. You've been so, so good to me. You've been so, so good to me.
Amen. Let me close with this. And sometimes these words are way overused, but I mean this from the depths of my being, from the bottom of my heart. Thank you for loving our family in Kenya. One of the things that I wanted to look them in the eye and hold them in my arms and tell them is that we believed in them and we appreciated them, and that what they were doing was a significant work. A very important work, and that they are honoring our Father and they are bearing fruit. They're doing it with all of their hearts. It's convicting. I'm telling you, it's convicting to see how committed those precious people are. Cornelius will drive 14 hours. He will leave after church this morning and drive 14 hours to go and minister. Amen. So let me just say thank you for looking beyond yourself, and thank you for loving our family there. And I know that unless, you know, of course they come here, whatever, some of you will never meet these people face to face. But I'm telling you, they love you. They are so thankful for you and for what you do to help them. And the work of the Lord there. So, amen. Just know that you're loved. Praise God. And know that you're appreciated. And you have a great, great rest of your day. Remember, Jesus is Lord. Amen. Jesus is Lord over Birmingham. He's Lord over Jefferson County. He's Lord over the state of Alabama. He's Lord over the United States of America. Jesus is Lord. Amen. You be blessed. If we could get some help.